There was a lot of ways that I wanted to start this episode of ECH post-game live, and this wasn't one of them with the overtime winner for the Golden Knights. I mean, this game, there were so many cool things about this game, right? Like every regulation goal really was scored like in a beautiful, cool way, like for both teams. Like it was fantastic. You've got the back and forth nature. I mean, the Kraken do a great job seizing momentum, going up in the third, putting themselves in a position to win the game. They can't close it out, and then it just keeps spiraling and getting worse and worse, ultimately culminating in the Eichel goal, coming off of back-to-back, like, you know, just rushes back and forth, 3-on-3 overtime. It was so exciting, but just, this was a big chance for the Kraken to get back in it playoff-wise, and this was not the result that they needed, is the bottom line. This was a 4-point swing game, and unfortunately they didn't make up ground. They lost ground, and that's unfortunate. And you know, as much as it was exciting, as much as there was so much fun to be had during it, and as cool as all the goals were and exciting, that is unfortunately the reality that we're left with, is just that the Kraken dropped. You know, they needed a point there. They needed Vegas not to get any by having the game go to overtime. Oh, it's tough. It's tough. But thank you everybody for joining us here on Emerald City Hockey Post Game Live, presented by Flatstick Pub. We are very, very this close to announcing a big thing with Flatstick Pub, so everybody stay tuned for that. Can't quite do it tonight, but we are very, very close from that. I'm really, really excited. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go into the comment section. Actually, you want to see like how rough the end of that game was. I was able to capture a live reaction from Afra. This was her reaction to the Marchessault goal to tie it up with like 16 seconds left or whatever. She just turned and looked at me like, what? That was you know, so she was right there with all of us. It's good to know. Nicole kicking us off. How could they let it slip away like that? Yeah, so let's talk about the sequence on that game tying goal, right? So it's, you know, empty net situation for Vegas. Vegas has the extra attacker out there. I've seen some people criticize Grubauer. I've seen some people criticize Larson, some criticizing Jamie Oleksiak. I understand why all three of them did what they were doing. I think if you're Philip Grubauer, he's in position for where the puck is. You can't cheat for the pass across. You got to play where the puck is. He's playing where the puck is. He's, you know, his whole style since he's come back from injury and since he's been good has been to be aggressive and play at the top of his crease because he's not giving up rebounds. And that's where he was. I don't really have an issue with Grubauer's positioning on that final sequence, just because that's where he's been successful. And that is really where you want your goaltender to be. You can't have them play to cheat the pass. You're just going to have them in their head. You open up a possibility of something sneaking through. You can't have that. Adam Larson, he's drifting slowly across over in front of Grubauer, but what he's doing is he's reading the situation. He is the lone man net front. So as a defenseman, you put yourself over towards the goaltender there because you want to make sure that if the shot comes and your goaltender makes the save and coughs up a rebound, you are there to take care of the rebound. You're going to have inside position. You're going to immediately be able to shift your body around like this. Puck is in front of you. All the Golden Knights are behind you and you're on it. You give your goaltender a chance to cover up any sort of rebound that exists off the shot. So as terrible as it looks that Larson is essentially leaving Marchessault completely alone on the other side, that's what Adam Larson's doing. Given the situation, maybe it would be better to play back a little bit there and try to play the pass and make sure you can cover the guy back door. But I understand his instincts of playing, you know, hockey for however long he's played hockey, probably 27 years, kicking in and having him move across like that. That is where generally you want your defenseman in a situation like that, is to be there to help out and cover up the rebound. You don't want that's the nightmare scenario, is that your goaltender makes the save, but there's a big rebound in front and it becomes chaos. You don't want that. Jamie Oleksiak, I understand why he kind of circled and followed. I forget which Vegas player it was, but he circles around and follows them behind the net. He comes out way too wide, though. That's the one thing. So I guess if any of the three were to be criticized, in my opinion, it would be Jamie Oleksiak. But I understand what he's doing. He's sticking with his man. He's making sure that the player who was the open player, because that was the open player initially, is covered and he's sticking with him. But I would have liked, as he comes around the back of the net to come back up onto Grubauer's left side, I would have liked it if he hung towards the net, stayed close, because if he's in close, Larson doesn't feel the need to shift over to the left, right, and be there to cover the rebound, because he'd know he has Jamie Oleksiak there instead. And then Larson can play over towards Marchessault, and Marchessault's not going to have a wide open backdoor opportunity afterwards. So that's the way I saw that play. Just watching it the few times that we were able to watch it before overtime got going. I understand why everybody played the way that they did. It's just one of those unfortunate opportunities of the other team's got an extra guy out there. You can't cover everybody. And this was just a time like that. I mean, similar to the power play, which Marchessault being over there and scoring on the power play goal, where again, it's just a time where Vegas took advantage of the fact that they have an extra guy out there. They're very good at being able to generate plays, create space for them. Again, you got a decoy going, pulling Jamie Oleksiak away. Marchessault knows exactly what to do. He goes to that open ice. He gets himself open for the one-timer to get the goal. It's very similar to the look that they did on the power play. So it's just an unfortunate thing. It's a good team doing something. It's, you know, the Kraken trying to make the best of a rough situation at the end there. And the end result is just, you know, frustrating. That's it. That's just the bottom line. Super chat here from Sean. Thank you very much, Sean. Afra needs treats after that one. Time to take a melatonin and hope I can forget the last 10 minutes of the game. Yes, hopefully you can you think about that as a, you know, maybe it was just all a bad dream, right? Maybe it was just a dream. Maybe we can make that happen for you there, Sean. But appreciate the super chat, and got Afra's treats here ready to go. There you go, Afra. Get some good treats there. And then Gregory with the super chat. What a soul crushing, gut wrenching loss. And good news, I got engaged today. Yay. Good job, Gregory. Congratulations. Really happy for you. That is wonderful news. Everybody congratulate Gregory. That is absolutely fantastic. I owe you a lemon lime Gatorade to celebrate Gregory. I think it's only fair. Really happy for you though, bud. That's awesome news. Coming back over into chat here, absurdly sane with the why. It's so frustrating. This team, of course, it had to be this team. Of all the teams, it had to be this team. Infamous defeat from the jaws of victory, pain. Yes, RJ's favorite saying, and appropriate for this one as the Kraken dropped it there. The hate for Vegas is alive and well from people here. I see that. Michael, completely unacceptable outcome tonight. That's it for the season. And yet again, cruddy goaltending and lackadaisical defense plays a huge role in screwing this team. Like I said, I just kind of gave the breakdown of how I saw the end events there and how it went down. I understand why everybody is doing what they're doing, right? Like it makes sense. I thought that the Kraken had played well defending the lead there late up into that point. I like the way that they were, you know, Hakstol was completely jumbling the lines to make sure he had defensively responsible players out there. You look at, you know, Matty Beniers, Jared McCann, and Brandon Tanev being out there as a line for a little while trying to defend that lead. And they were doing a great job. They sustained a lot of pressure moving forward. Unfortunately, they got tired. They had to make the change. It's just the way it is. There's been issues with that stuff all through the franchise's history. I still think just, you know, get some more finishing will ultimately do more than any of that other stuff. But I would defend all three guys on the end there. I think the one person who could do something different would be Jamie Oleksiak. And I understand why he didn't. Blowing a 2-goal lead in the third to lose to the Golden Knights feels so bad from B. It does, right? Like it's bad. Yes, I know. I'm upset after. It's okay. Sean, that's unacceptable, period, but it's also a perfect representation of this season as a whole. It is, right? You've got games like this where the Kraken have momentum and then just kind of throw it away. We've got the games like Winnipeg or San Jose where they're just, they don't rise to the occasion. For whatever reason, this team, the inconsistency, it's not just like a seasonal thing or a game-to-game thing. It could be a period-by-period thing, and I think we kind of saw that tonight. But this has been a team all year long that's really struggled with momentum. They've struggled with when they've had momentum, like they did at the beginning of this third period, right? I mean, they come into this third period, they score 3 goals. They go up by 2. That should be enough momentum to close out a game. It just should. and it wasn't. They struggled with that for whatever reason, and it's that I think is a bigger deal than anything else, is just the fact that they just can't quite put that together. At least we have more points against Vegas this year than the prior 2 years combined, with one game left to go from Sam. I guess silver lining. That is a silver lining. Lindsay, I was 16 seconds away from being happy, but Jamie Oleksiak decided to rivet to the point instead of icing it. Aerial flip up the middle. Tom, can't remember feeling more bitter after a loss. RIP playoff hopes. Yes, I do think that this game probably puts it to, you know, at the end. I was going to say, if they lost in regulation, I was going to say it was officially over, because then they'd be 10 points back. It was going to be hard to make that up. I guess they're technically not 10 points back, but I don't know that this is going to happen. I don't know. And Chris, and there goes the playoffs. Nice effort, boys, but we got to close them up. It's true, right? Like, bottom line is, this team isn't a playoff team, given that they struggle to show up for certain games that they need to show up for. Can't close out a game like this one. I mean, those are just kind of things that playoff teams need to do. Even in a league where half of the teams make the playoffs, you got to be able to do those things. And the Kraken just aren't able to do that. George, I'm already full aboard the Tankathon train, but man, do I hate losing to Vegas. Simply the worst. It is the worst, especially when they win like this. It's one thing if they just like won a close game and it was just like, oh, okay, well, you know, these things happen, one goal game in hockey or whatever. But to come back from being down two in the third, tie it super late like that, win it in overtime, it's the worst. It's so bad. Ryan, D pairs need overhauling. I agree. I think we need to see the like Evans Lars pairing, something like that. I just don't think that this whole, you know, going with Dumoulin Larson and just completely front loading your two best defensemen out there together, it doesn't work. They need to be spread out more. There needs to be help further around the lineup. And Evans Schultz, it's two guys that do the same thing, and they're just struggling. They're struggling. And you just can't do that. And you certainly can't if you're Hackstaws. I'm looking at the ice time for all three pairs. They're all within 2 minutes of each other. You're gonna completely load up one pairing like Dumoulin Larson and then only play it two more minutes than Evans Schultz at 5-on-5? I don't agree with that. If you're gonna just say like, look, it's only gonna be for a handful of games while Vince Dunn is out, let's go Dumoulin Larson. Let's make that the thing. We're just gonna load up like kind of, you know, these two, our two best like defensive guys together. Then you play the crud out of that. Like you play that for like half the game, right? Because they just got to do it while Vince Dunn's out, and it seems like he's, you know, getting there as far as coming back. You don't put them out there for 14-26, 5-on-5. I don't agree with that one. So this loss hurts more than any other loss from Maddie. This does feel like the most painful loss that we've had this year. Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, the one thing to say is, look, at least we'll always have the Winter Classic. That's, I guess, one of the things we could do. Maddie, I thought Evans looks great. Yeah, Evan looks great. I really love what Riker Evans is able to do. Again, though, I just don't think him and Schultz make sense together, because they're both trying to do the same thing. They're both trying to cheat up ice. They're both trying to move the puck up ice, activate, try to make big, long breakout passes. You know, Evans can play conservative defensively, but he's not gonna, you know, make some sort of world-class stop at any point for you. And Justin Schultz isn't either. We know his struggles there. So I like Riker Evans. That's why I think Riker Evans deserves to be further up the lineup if Hackstall wants to play all three pairings roughly the same amount of time. If he's not going to do that and he's going to really shelter an Evans Schultz pairing, then you can do that. But I just don't think you can do that. Freddie, call me a doctor now. I'm going to have a high blood pressure. My blood is boiling. Dude, right here all day, Freddie. I'm with you 1,000%. Angela Buck, here to moan dejectedly with friends. Moan. It's pretty appropriate. Afra let out some heavy sighs. I don't know that she's physically capable of moaning, but she joined you there with the big sigh. Coop, this team never had it this season. This game is a weird microcosm of close, but not quite there. Kind of feels like that was this season overall. I agree with that. I agree with that. And I know somebody else was saying that this was like a microcosm of the season. JMG was saying that. I agree with that. Like I said earlier, it's the momentum thing. This team was just never really able to figure out momentum. They weren't able to defend leads. They weren't able to really come back from things. It's just a weird group. I don't know how else to describe it. Sim to off season from Kyle. Yes, no simming available IRL, unfortunately. Gabrielle, the 2-goal lead is cursed. It is. It's called the most dangerous lead in hockey for a reason, and it was again tonight. Michael, this team is so good at imploding. This just happens way too often to avoid accountability for players and coaches. Yeah, I mean, we'll see come the end of the season, right? I think we were kind of getting there with some of the mood around the trade deadline, right? Moving Wennberg, making that decision, sticking with it after what happens, the weirdness around, you know, Everly and re-signing him and stuff. Even just Ron's comments, right? Like, how did he feel about trade deadline? And he was just kind of like, like, I feel like there's a lot of people that are just kind of like that with a lot of guys on this team, including within the organization. Let's see. Money Puck Kraken playoff odds dropped from 15% to 13% after this game. We from Lindsay. Yeah, I think this is over. Unfortunately, I think it's over. Rock Todd, we need a star player. End of story. We do. I don't know where they're supposed to come from is the one problem. I mean, me and RJ we've been racking our brains trying to find a situation where there could be a star player available for the Kraken this offseason, and I just don't see one, unfortunately. So I think next year, you know, keep cap space open, enter next season, hope somebody's situation goes bad, whether it's a relationship between player and team or it's just a team kind of really stumbles out of the gates and maybe has to make a tough call on some guys. And then the Kraken try to take advantage of that. Cause I just don't think anything else is going to be available trade wise. And we know the free agent market is not great for that kind of upper echelon people right now. It's really just Jake Guentzel. And it sounds like he's been working on an extension since the trade to Carolina. So it's going to be a tough one for the Kraken. Let's see, Sam. And to be fair, as a person who's going to start my master's in applied behavioral analysis this fall, congrats. I find all of these free therapy sessions very enlightening, informative, and reflective. Well, that's what they're here for. So glad they're working, Sam. Glad they're working. Nick, Grubauer is not the starter for this team. Why play him now when Decord had the Winter Classic shutout? I truly believe he would have stopped one of those goals. Gru didn't. I get why they went with Gru. I mean, Gru's been playing better recently. Gru had been kind of on a tear and Gru had taken the starting job. I get where you're coming from, though, Nick, right? Like, Joey just owned this team. Like, the last time they played, he owned this team. So I thought it was a little strange. I like the way that Hextall has at least stayed consistent with whatever goaltender is playing better is his starter, is going to be his go-to guy, and he stuck with that here. We've seen that work in the past. We've seen it not work in the past. He's at least consistent there. I guess that's the best we could hope for, but I'm with you. It was a little odd given that, you know, I mean, Joey really owned that team. Like it wasn't even like, oh, he got the win in the Winter Classic. Like he shut them down completely. So it's hard to kind of, you know, take that out of your head. Jay, frustrating game. And I think that cooks our goose for the playoff race. Got to agree, Jay, unfortunately. Edward, it was 4-2 Kraken just scored. I got a call from my brother. Came back just in time to hear the overtime goal. What happened? Blew it, Edward. We blew it. That's what happened, unfortunately. Oh, it wasn't good. At least you didn't have to see it real time, Edward. That's what I can say. Coop, the fact that every time we get to face an empty net, I know in my being there's no chance of scoring an empty netter is wild. We have to be the worst in the NHL at finishing games with an empty net. That is something I don't know if that's tracked. I'm sure it's tracked somewhere. Somebody's got the stats on that, but it would not surprise me if the Kraken were top three. Like, you know, I haven't watched enough of other teams to know who else has struggled, but Kraken have to be at minimum top three, if not number one, right? It's unreal. And I get it. We don't, you know, the guys are worried about taking icing, so we don't see them throw the puck all the way down the ice. That's fine. I get it. But at some point, just go for it. Cause like, you know, you can you so at some point you're gonna hit it if you do it right. It's the classic Gretzky quote of you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. If any one of these games was closed out because that they ended up, you know, getting tied and losing later, if any one of those was closed out because somebody took a chance and went for the empty netter and got it, I would take that, right? At this point, like, it's a good idea, maybe. Although I will say, with given the face-off struggles this team has, maybe not icing the puck is a good idea. That if they figure out the face-off stuff, I think they might go for it a little bit more. That might be the calculation they make. Edward with the super chat. Back on day of Boston game, I got news I would need to move out by end of March. This week, I got accepted a new place and move in on Friday. Wish I could have shared this after a Kraken W. I do too, Edward, but congrats on getting the new place. I hope the move goes well. Hope you enjoy the new place, all that kind of stuff. That's, you know, I don't know the full situation, but, you know, always wishing you the best. Hope everything's good there. And yeah, I mean, moving's never fun. Let's be real, but I'm sure it'll go good for you. You got a great sense of humor. Let's see. I don't blame Groove for this. Crossbar bounces pretty unlucky. There's some crazy bounces in this one. That's from Gabrielle. Coop, it's not Grubauer's fault. He was under assault for literally 3 minutes straight. The team has been able to has to be able to clear the puck and hit an empty net. Agreed. Burnt Krem, they were puck watching, pure and simple. Yeah, it's rough. Let's see. Money Puck at Grubauer at -2.17. No idea which goal he was supposed to stop. Thought he played really well again from Anthony. Yeah, let me see here real quick. Just like, you know, which goals were lower on the expected for Grubauer, because I'm kind of with you. Like, most of these were okay. Which goal is this? Yorfiev, and is this the first Marchessault goal? No, this would be the last one. I mean, they're giving them the last one. I don't think that's not taking into account the Marchessault one to tie the game with 17 seconds left. I don't know that that's entirely fair to put on Grubauer. Like I said, I've given the reasons why before. I know Michael vehemently disagrees in the comment section. But that's one where I think they're just taking into account the position on the ice. They're not looking at the overall scope of everything. So it kind of can skew the expected goal numbers from time to time. Because yes, a shot from that spot on the ice, goaltender most of the time is going to make a save. It's just not always going to be an empty, you know, one timer where they have an extra guy on the ice, right? And one of his defensemen is a million miles away. Light with the super chat. It hurts, I won't lie. I knew this team would be like this, and frankly, I assumed we'd lose tonight, but it felt like we should have won. It does. This was a game that they should have won. There's no way around that, right? Like, that's, I think we all can agree on that. That's where they're at. Like, this, they should have won. They should have closed it out. Ideally, a good team closes this out. A playoff team closes this out. Just weren't able to. Dace, so that's probably the season done. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that's going to be it, Dace. Ben, I hate saying this so much, but that play by Stevenson was bonkers. I've seen this a couple times in there. You brought it up, Ben, but yes, it was a crazy pass. That was a nice play. Vegas made good plays. That's the other aspect of this that we haven't really talked about, is just that Vegas is a good team. They're defending Stanley Cup champions. They're relatively healthy. For them, this is fairly healthy. And they made some really nice plays in this one, right? Their power play goal, the Marchessault situation, the way that they force the Kraken to kind of throw three people up high and then have Marchessault drop down and get open like that was really impressive. The way that, you know, as I'm thinking about it more and more, I feel like they used a decoy to kind of pull Jamie Oleksiak away and cycle him back and around the net, which opens up, you know, leaves just Larson in front. That opens up a situation for, again, Marchessault to kind of sneakily cheat down and get open for the one-timer on the game-tying goal. They're really, really smart in how they use their players. Kraken did a great job in the first period of limiting their ability to attack in transition. We know this about Vegas. They love to attack with speed. They're great at coming into the, you know, for the Kraken, the defensive zone, for them, the offensive zone. They're great at hitting the blue line with speed. Their guys kind of scatter. They attack the weak spots in the defense. They're really good at reading those situations on the fly and making moves. And the Kraken were doing a great job of not giving them that, right? Even when they turn over the puck in the offensive defensive zone. They made sure they were not giving Vegas easy passes up the ice. They weren't letting Vegas guys build up speed moving up the ice. Kraken did a great job defending through the neutral zone to limit that transitional attack from Vegas. As the game went on, that obviously goes away. You can't do that on a power play. You can't do that in an empty net situation because you're trying to, you know, they have an extra player out there and you're really trying to sit on things, right? You PK unit, you got to play conservative. Empty net situation where they have the empty net, you know, you're defending the one goal lead. You have to play conservative. You can't necessarily take some of those chances. And that's really, you know, kind of did them in there. And you could see that they got away from it on the Carlson goal too, right? The response goal in the third period. That was another one where it was just a play where they weren't really there for it. They weren't totally on it. And that kind of just that little slip up allowed Vegas to get back in it. But the bottom line is Vegas is a good team and they're capable of doing this. And it's entirely possible that if the Kraken were playing all but a handful of the top tier teams like Vegas can be, this, you know, they do close out this game. It's just the way it is. That Kraken fan page official, thank you for the super chat here. This is looking way far ahead, but I'm curious because I haven't paid much attention to the offseason before. What are the first couple of moves you're aiming to make in the offseason? Go Kraken, guys. So the first thing that kind of pops up in the offseason would be the draft. It's usually last week of June. And then right after the draft, start of July is free agency. So as far as looking at the offseason, after the playoffs are over, you can start working on contract extensions with guys. You know, the big ones for the Kraken are going to be Ellie Tolvanen and Matty Beniers. We know Ron hasn't been talking with at least Matty and Matty's camp about an extension, but it wouldn't surprise me if once the Kraken are out, that becomes the thing that we all kind of shift focus to. After that, it is the draft. Like I said, that's late June. You're going to focus on that. Obviously all the scouts and the analytics department for the Kraken are going to be looking at that sort of things. Ron Francis is going to have his attention, you know, pretty much on the draft at that point. And then right after the draft is kind of when the legal tampering window opens ahead of free agency, where they're allowed to talk to player agents of free agents. And so then you'll see free agent stuff happen early July. I believe July 1st, we're back after all the COVID stuff to that being the start of the new league year. So that's kind of like the timeline of events. The first thing I'm going to be looking for is going to be the Matty and Tolvanen extensions. Those should be the first things that happen. If those haven't happened by the draft or free agency, I mean, it's possible. We saw the Vince Dunn one last offseason go on pretty long. Depending on how those negotiations are going, it's possible, but it would surprise me if both of them got that far. I would assume one, if not both of them, would be done come draft time. You know, Tolvanen one should be easier than the Matty one. The Matty one has a lot of different directions to go. It's going to be interesting whether they go short bridge deal or long contract after the season he's had this year. Let's see. Gorgeous left Vegas 81 all by himself on that goal at the end of the third. Seems like he forgot that it was 6-on-5. You can't just leave a dude wide open. Kraken were like, ooh, puck, and went left. Yes, they did all kind of shift left. Again, when you're defending late, when you're on the PK, any of those kind of situations, you play the puck. It's the one situation where everybody is going to mostly focus on the puck. You're going to play the puck because you have to play conservative. Ideally, you want to be in a situation where you have both defenders net front so that Lars can go over and cover Marchessault. It wasn't the situation here. Yes, ideally, you would want Yanni Gord to be able to drop down and help out in that situation, not kind of be in no man's land in the middle where there isn't really any Vegas Golden Knights players. But I do understand the way that the Kraken kind of all shift as a unit. It's all about keeping the puck in front of you. Right. You want the play in front of you. That's just kind of the way that it's taught and drawn up. Most teams aren't going to find a way to get around that the way Vegas does. Like I said, Vegas really works specifically on doing these things and specifically with Jonathan Marchessault. You watch a lot of the goals that Marchessault scores. I know he scores a lot of them, but through past playoffs, I can think of numerous examples. This game, there was two examples of him being able to really read situations and just at the right moment be able to drop down. Still not like a great excuse. But I just think that it's that that's the situation. I think if Jonathan Marchessault has done this game, I mean, obviously takes two goals off the board, but I don't know that anybody else steps up and does those plays either. That's just kind of his thing, and he's made his career off of it. B, hurts that all the great plays in this one just feel wasted. The play leading to the Berkey goal was beautiful. So was the fourth line goal, but I can't celebrate because the end was so devastating. Those were great plays. I love the Berkey McCann one a lot because it was a great example of what the Kraken were doing in the first period so well. And then it continued into the beginning of that second period, right? This goal was scored a couple minutes in. But through the first period and through the start of the second period, the Kraken were doing such a great job of keeping the puck in the offensive zone. Like I said, they were limiting Vegas's attack through transition. They were doing a great job of that. This situation, they're keeping it in the offensive zone. That's one where the Vegas defenders are completely gassed, and that's what allows that opportunity to exist there for Berkey Netfront, because Shea Theodore had been out there for over 2 minutes at that point. He was incapable of getting to that puck as McCann was able to kind of do that drop pass over to him. It was a great example of some teamwork and some fun chemistry there with Berkey jumping up onto the line with McCann. Got RJ here. I'll let RJ maybe join in. That was an exciting way to kind of kick off the scoring, RJ. It was the prettiest goal from the Kraken in a while.
Yeah, it was. I mean, great way for the Kraken to get on the board. I mean, I thought you'd had a really good breakdown of it there, and it got the building going too. I mean, there was just so much energy in here tonight, especially with all the backs and forths of this game, and it just unfortunately had to end the way it did.
Yes. I was going to ask, like, what was the energy like in the building? But I'm sure it's been the same as everybody here. There's lots of moaning and groaning and just, you know, you got to find a way to close that one out.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's as simple as that. And that kind of was what a lot of the answers boiled down to from the players, right? You know, it's great that you had that pushback in the third. Matty Beneer said we had a good pushback, but at the end of the day, you just have to close that one out. And I think that's just the reality, especially at this point in the season. I think the guys really knew what this game meant and what this loss means. I think the most telling thing was at the end of the game. I don't know how much the broadcast got, but Oliver Bjorkstrand, who I think is the most mild-mannered Kraken player, one of the more mild-mannered people you're ever going to meet, smashed his stick on the boards immediately after the game-winning goal from Jack Eichel, and then kept the shaft of his stick for a while. You know, and as he gets to the bench, does a little, you know, kind of mock clap and then throws the rest of his stick down the ice. You never see that from Oliver Bjorkstrand. Mm. I think that says a heck of a lot about where the team's mind is at right now and just the level of frustration that you have so much positive to take out of this game. You almost get it done and it slips away from you in what might cost you the season.
Yeah, I want to get to that, the larger aspects of it, but just because you bring up the Bjorkstrand example, I just happen to be looking at this comment from Infamous. Was wondering what made Bjorky so mad, and it looked like he got his stick held on the Eichel breakaway. Not sure it would have changed the outcome. That's probably why he broke his stick. I noticed that too through that sequence, right? You have the two Golden Knights kind of converge. It was obvious that something interfered with Bjorkstrand's ability to kind of come back, because he all of a sudden stands up straight and his upper body kind of goes back there a little bit. I don't know if he got held, if his stick got held, but it did look like something happened there.
Right, it did. And I kind of saw it. I only got to see it once just as it happened in front of me. And I could tell something happened, but I really would benefit from seeing a replay. As soon as that winning goal is scored, everything just gets set in motion for me as far as having to get everything out, go down to the locker room and all that. I'll take a look at the replay later. But yeah, he definitely wanted a call there. And I do think the mock clapping was probably directed at the officials. Can't say that with 100% certainty, but that would be my guess.
It's probably a safe guess. Just talking about things at the end, there's been lots of talk about the game tying goal. If somebody needs to be at fault, who would be at fault? I've broken it down a couple times. I'm just kind of curious your take on that situation and how things unfolded, if you have one.
Yeah, no, I do. And actually, Hakstol kind of broke it down a little bit, too. He was talking through that play because clearly it was a huge play in the game. And he said, you know, there were a couple times we could have taken care of a puck sooner in that. We needed one more clear that we didn't get. They throw a puck at the net, they make a nice play to get it to the weak side, and then just kind of slowly said, you know, we could have had a number over there. So I think I agree with him. There definitely could have been a player over there on the weak side, somebody with their head on a swivel. I mean, Adam Larson was right there. I think he was the closest defenseman. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to have their head on a swivel there. There's three defenders kind of in that general area. You have to at least take away the lane there, because, you know, they do have an extra guy, but you have the numbers to take that away. And you can't let a guy just get lost by that much far side.
It's Jonathan Marchessault, RJ. That's what he does.
It is. It is. He's good at it.
It's his thing. Everybody's got a thing. That's his thing, unfortunately. What do you think of the defensive pairings? This was a question earlier. I see one here from Jacob of what pairing would you put with Borgen? We were talking about, you know, needing to shake up the defensive pairings was one of the comments earlier. I talked about the fact that if you're going to load up one of your pairings with both Dumoulin and Larson, kind of go ultra defense, why do you only then play that pairing 2 minutes more than the third pairing, right, of Riker Evans and Justin Schultz at 5-on-5? It feels like if you're going to kind of completely load up one pairing like that, you got to then play it like half the game with that pairing, right? This whole spreading out the ice time evenly when you have one pairing that's all defense and one pairing that's kind of all offense doesn't really seem like a good idea to me.
No, I think especially later in the game, you saw the weaknesses of it. Initially, I liked some of the deployment decisions, like to start the second period, both teams started their fourth line and Vegas ices the puck right away. So you get that D zone draw, their fourth line stuck out there. Hakstol brings on the McCann line and he goes with the Evans Schultz D pair. That's the kind of situational thing I love to see. You give him the offensive zone start against a weak line. But those opportunities just kind of broke down later in the game, where especially given the pace and just with how much is going on the fly, you didn't really have the chance to do that. And so then it comes down to, are the D pairs themselves something that you can work with in numerous situations that I don't know that they are?
Yeah, well, and we will see as Vince Dunn has been making more and more progress each day, it feels like. Casey, do you think any of the guys talked to Alexiak about his play there, or if any of them felt like that play was pivotal in a bad way, as some of us feel right now? I'm sure that they're going to talk about it tomorrow, right? Like, how do you not? It was the game-tying play, right? Like, yeah. They're going to talk about it. I don't know that guys will ever single each other out in a situation like that.
No, that's not how a locker room works. Not a healthy one anyway. I mean, if you're having guys kind of doing that and be like, you know, come on, Rig, that's not good. That's not a good dynamic to have. And I don't think the Kraken have it. But those are the kind of things that you do go over in film. You know, the players know also, you know.
Yes.
It's something they know immediately. They've played enough hockey in their lives. They know when a mistake is made like that. It's just about kind of drilling that in. And you get that by going over film.
Yep. A couple super chats here from that Kraken fan page official. Lars smacked his stick on the goal as well. I could see him being upset with maybe jumping up into the play as much as he did, and then he wasn't there to be back. I get that, but I also get being caught up in the moment of the back and forth fun overtime stuff.
Yeah, and Hakstol even mentioned, he said, once it gets going like that, there's nothing you can do. It just has its momentum of its own, and you can't stop it until a team scores. And that really is the case. Just, yeah, it has to go back and forth.
Yeah. And then a very kind super chat here from Paul. Just wanted to shout out Dylan and RJ. I've been listening since year one and you guys have made me a smarter hockey fan. Maddie bounce back year and Shane with the Calder next year. I'm loving the optimism towards next season. Thank you very much for the kind words there, Paul. Appreciate that. Always glad to hear it. And yeah, RJ, I mean, one of the discussions this year is people starting to pivot towards looking towards the off season or next season, because this kind of feels like it.
It does. I mean, you look at the standings, you look at the reality of it. The Kraken are 9 points out now after 64 games. You know, I hate to have to be the one to say this, but no team in the salary cap era has made the playoffs when they were 9 or more points out after 64 games. It would be an unprecedented thing to do in the cap era for the Kraken to make the playoffs at this point. I'm not saying they can't do it, but that is just the reality of the hill they have to climb at this point.
Yeah, if they're going to do it, it's going to be historic, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gabrielle, what I hate the most is McCann works so hard to create opportunities, and it feels like we don't have the follow through for the setup he manages to create. I feel that way about a couple guys. It felt that way with Wennberg, really, his whole stint with the Kraken, and that just comes down to the struggle to find more finishers.
Right. It's the long-term need the Kraken have. We've gone over it many, many times, and unfortunately, until we get to the offseason, there's just nothing they can do about it.
Yep. Moose at the gym right now, about to take out my post game frustration on some iron. Good job, Moose. That sounds like a pretty good idea. Sean, I would not have started Joey here. Vegas would have been salivating to show that January 1st was a fluke. That was the other thing that we kind of talked about, RJ, the decision to start with Grubauer over Joey after the Winter Classic.
Yeah. Joey had a fantastic game at the Winter Classic. I think Hakstol, this is just consistent, right? He goes with whichever goalie has been playing better of late. Doesn't always focus on the matchups, really, or past history, right, against these teams. And, you know, I don't think you can really pin this one on Gru. You look at the goals, I don't think he had much of a chance on just about any of them. So, you know, I don't think it cost them the game.
Yep. Some talk about our, you know, struggle scoring empty net goals. Viren, we've got 7 empty net goals, 26th in the league, standby for success rate. Let's see. I'm looking for the follow-up for that one here. So 7 goals on 22 empty net opportunities for a 318 success rate, which is 28th in the league. Net success
even got the league ranking. Good job.
Yes. Net success rate, subtracting this, the 4.65 goals allowed, is 0.136, which is only 23rd. So, I mean, it's not the worst in the league, which is what we were all kind of like speculating. It sure feels that way a lot of the time, but no matter how you slice it, they're in the bottom third.
Yeah, it's not good. And it's the kind of thing that needs to bounce back just over a whole season. That's 3, 4, 5 standings points that it can get you.
Yep. People agreeing. It looked like Bjorkstrand's stick was held there. Is this officially the Kraken's most painful loser point to date?
Oh man, probably.
It sure feels like it. I know there's some recency bias in that, but just opponents, how it happens. I mean, just it was bad. It hurts.
Did they lose in overtime to Arizona year one on the Lawson Kraus where he scored a couple goals? Is that overtime?
Oh,
no,
gosh,
that was regulation, wasn't it?
That was regulation.
Ooh.
Yes, that was a really bad game.
That's
so long ago. That was pre-Mullet Arena Coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
That's a crazy game. Kessel was on that team. I remember Phil Kessel being a part of that situation too.
Speaking of hot dogs up in the press bridge tonight, Kessel mentioned had to throw that in there.
Cool. Snaps for whoever made that decision. let's see, is RJ at CPA? Yes, he is, Scott. After every home game. Let's see here. I had one.
Trying to think of a way to prove this isn't a green screen.
Well, I mean, just wait long enough, they'll start playing music.
I couldn't have just grabbed this out of nowhere, right?
I was going to say, you're a big root beer drinker. That's probably just yours. That could be in your apartment,
right?
No problem. Zoe, is there any update on Schwartz? Dunn seems close to coming back, but I haven't seen any updates on Schwartz.
No update on Schwartz aside from just day to day. And we ask Hackstall every day we get the chance to talk to him, and he'll usually say no update. So till we see him on the ice, he's at least a little ways out.
Yep. Gonna need some Shane for Calder t-shirts mocked up for next season. Oh yeah,
that is on the off-season checklist.
Yep. Got a couple Vegas fans in here wishing everybody good game. That's, you know, that's nice. I'll take that over the alternative. They're gonna be in here. Mm-hmm. And it was a close game. It was an exciting game. I don't remember the last time, RJ, where essentially you know, there's 9 goals total scored in this game. I think all of them were highlight worthy. There wasn't any goal that was just like a it's a goal.
Huh. You know what? I didn't think about it that way, but yeah, they were all some pretty goals.
Yeah, like these were all goals you could break down, and or they were like, you know, interesting tips, right? Like you can't always break down a tip in goal, but almost all the other goals, like you could do a pretty extensive breakdown to kind of see how it all set up. And to me, that means they're interesting goals.
Yeah, from your perspective, certainly. But I mean, they were also just kind of pretty.
Yep. Marvitar, too late to start tanking. It's never too late.
Yes, I know you would say that, Dylan. I don't know. Look at the Ducks, what they were doing tonight, the Sharks, the Blackhawks. Go scroll a little bit further down the standings. It's too late to catch them.
Yeah, it's too late to catch them, but every position matters.
There are a lot of teams bunched up around where the Kraken are.
You could
get into the top 10 for sure.
Just saying. Sam, the Winnipeg loss as well last year when Susie lost his mind late was painful too. Uh-oh, we started something. We don't need to go down all these. Oh,
I mean, that is a worthy candidate, though.
Yes, that was. You're correct, Sam, for bringing that up. Elizabeth, I don't know how to send a super chat, but wanted to mention that regardless of the loss, I'm glad to have met some of the ECH people, RJ and Jen at CPA, and made it into a great night. Yes. Very happy that you got to be there for a game in person, Elizabeth. That is awesome.
Yes, it was great hanging out with you during warmups, before warmups. Enjoy that first game certificate. That was awesome to see you get one of those, and hope you still had a really fun time. I know I didn't, just the little amount of time I got to hang out with you guys all during warmups.
Yes. Oh, I'm jealous. I am jealous for sure. Let's see, Sean Marshy will be a UFA. Just saying, if you can't beat him, join him.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
They might do it, RJ. Edward, RJ, if you could pull off a green screen from home that looked perfectly like you were at CPA, I would be thoroughly impressed. Trust me when I say his green screen skills are not that good.
No, definitely not. You've seen the worst of him, I think.
I would be impressed too, and I would ask who he was paying to do it. let's see. Lindsay, I hate how the Kraken take like 20 plus seconds to set up a controlled breakout and then immediately turn it over. I get idling behind the net when the forwards are changing, but I've seen it happen a lot. I mean, we played the best team when it comes to transition hockey in this one, RJ. But I understand where Lindsay's coming from. There is room for improvement there for the Kraken.
Yeah, I think so. There is a little bit. I mean, on the flip side, though, I love the pressure they were putting on Vegas, forcing so many turnovers in the Vegas zone, too. It just, you know, it's just those little moments, right, where you can't afford to have a turnover at the wrong time.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. I'm going back up in a chat to see if, you know, what we've got here. Some blame Eddie Vedder. He can take it.
yeah, I did see Eddie Vedder chatting with the players, coaches, somebody after the game. He was going near the room.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. Going back down. Let's see. Managed to drench everything in my bag and beer, including my certificate. So yeah, from Elizabeth.
Oh no,
that's not as great. Sorry. let's see. Yeah. So. People very split on the idea of bringing in Marcia. So there, if you want to see Shane for 3+ games this year, he won't be Calder eligible next year. Not to be a downer from Vihiren.
Oh, there's that to consider.
Yeah, I mean, people are talking about it earlier in chat. I mean, the bottom line is Coachella Valley's first in their division. Like it doesn't make sense to call him up anyway this year. But that is something to consider for sure. So at most, we get 2 games of Shane Wright.
There we go. What a glorious 2 games they may or may not be.
Yes. Got to do that. Jessica, yay for Pebbles tonight. That was a lot of fun. That shot, like, that had some authority to it.
It did. Yeah, and he said he wasn't sure if it was his goal or not, because we did talk to him after the game, asked him if it was his goal. He's like, I don't think so. Like, I think they gave it to Turbo. But then he just said, you know, that's a line goal. That's a goal where the whole line contributes to it. And that's a great answer from him. And yeah, I mean, it's a shame that we missed out on the Belmar media availability that could have been if the Kraken had won this game, because it would have been amazing. Like, you could tell how fired he was to score that goal or not score that goal, whatever happened. But you know, afterward, he was as frustrated as anybody. You know, he did a good job, answered the questions, yeah, and some good, you know, thought provoking answers. But man, you could see the frustration on his face.
Yeah, not to be a downer, but obviously it was Jordan Eberle, kind of a big night for him. Game 1000. I assume that wasn't brought up at any point afterwards.
Post game, no, not talked about at all. I mean, you know, there were good moments, like in warmups. He had so much family there. I was waiting for the elevator, and this group of like at least 20 Eberles just walks by me. His huge extended family that he's got there. So, you know, happy that he was able to have them in the building, especially for warmups. They, you know, seem to have a good time. So it's a big milestone for him. But, you know, he cares more about the team result than anything personal.
Yes, definitely. I always love in sports because we're so used to referring to them all by their last name. Right. And then when you then have to refer to the family by the last name, the kind of like dissonance in my head, it's so right. Funny. I just picture 20 Jordan Eberles all getting into an elevator.
They had buttons with his face on them, so you could see 20 like Jordan Eberle faces.
All right. Close enough then. Let's see. This one from Olivia. That hit on McCann in the first period was rough. I'm glad he was okay and got back up, but being so close to it made me sit back a little. Dude just can't catch a break, RJ. And
why
that one
is it always him?
I don't know. I don't know. And that one wasn't like too bad. Like it was yeah, up high. They call the penalty, all that stuff happens, but like it's consistently him.
I don't know why. He's not putting himself in any kind of weird position there. He dumped a puck in, he went to go get it. Like that's all he did. I will say credit to Andrei Burakovsky for stepping in there. Yeah. And, you know, he didn't have to do anything crazy, just enough to get in the guy's face, be like, look, you know, you got to watch yourself. And I don't think it was necessarily malicious from White Cloud. I think he just got his hands up too high. Yeah. But at least you got Berkey in there sending the message, just, you know, don't try anything again, without taking a penalty, too. You keep the power play. It was well done.
Yep. What did you think of the forward lines in this one? Like having Bjorkstrand go back down and join Jani Gord and Elli Tolvanen, and then, you know, Cartier with McCann and Berkey.
I liked it certainly better than Tanev in the top six on that line. Like, I thought, you know, those lines produced fairly well. I've been supportive in the recent past of breaking up that Gord, Tolvanen, and Bjorkstrand line. And I do think generally, you know, it does help kind of spark the other lines when you have Bjorkstrand up. But I can't argue with the chemistry, especially on that 4-2 goal where you have that lost faceoff. You get that pass up quickly from Tolvanen to Bjorkstrand. I don't think that happens with any other group. It's just those three that know exactly where each other are. They know Bjorkstrand's going to fly the zone, and it creates that goal.
Yeah, that, because otherwise I didn't think that that line played well again tonight, right? Like, I don't know what the issue is with them. Like, with that if you take that play out of it, I think that line is a really rough game. And, you know, the numbers support it. They didn't do well on paper either. I still don't really know what's going on there and what way to spark that, especially like Tolvanen. It's been quiet for a very long time. I know he had the great look on the power play, right? He was open for those one-timers on the power play so consistently. It would have been great if he got one. But yeah, I think Jani Gord, for whatever reason, has been struggling, in my opinion. I thought Ty Cartier, though, had some great sequences in this one, being in the top six. I think he just kind of needs to stay there the rest of the year, and, you know, we'll see what he can cook up.
Yeah, as long as Schwartz is out, for sure. I'd love to see what he can do in the top six. He's just so much better of a fit for it than Tanev. Not taking anything away from Tanev. It's just not his spot in the lineup.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. But I just think Cartier, what I like about Cartier, RJ, is he gets puck on his stick, and if he's got a clear lane to shoot, he just takes the shot. And there's not enough guys on this team that do that.
Yeah, there were a couple plays. What was it in the second period where Vegas just turned the puck over in their own zone a couple times, and you just feed the puck to Cartier, he'll fire away. Like, I love that strategy. Doesn't dust it off, just boom, right at the net.
Yep, good stuff. Zoe Ebbs was the only forward to not record a point tonight.
Oh no.
That's so sad. It's so sad. And yet, for some reason, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. I will say I didn't notice him a ton in this one.
Yeah. No, I thought the Maddie line played really well, right? Like, they did a good job.
I was noticing Maddie left and right. He was making plays all over the place. I just didn't notice Everly a ton on that line.
He wanted it for Ebbs is the bottom line. Yeah. But I can also say, as somebody who has watched Jordan Eberle's entire career, I'm really not surprised. Right? Like, come on. This mm-hmm. would just happen mm-hmm. to him, unfortunately. Like, it's not even like his fault. It's just this stuff.
He's had some luck in that way.
Pretty consistently happens to him in just the worst way possible. Lindsay, just saying that a power play goal would have been really nice tonight.
It would have. I don't mind them feeding those one-timers over on the right side. You know, take what they're giving you. I guess just having guys at the net to kind of take advantage of those rebounds could have helped a little bit more, but they were working the puck well. I thought they were, you know, taking those open chances.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sean saying it's always him, McCann, because he's the only real threat on this team. I think there have been times where McCann has been targeted, and then I think there's other situations like tonight where it just... he's just always at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah. Anyone could have dumped the puck in.
Yeah. They're definitely going to need to beat the Caps, so at least Ebbs will get a win for his Silver Stick ceremony, from Absurdly Sane.
Yeah, the Silver Stick ceremony is coming next game. I'm sure Ebbs loves that it's just being stretched out over two games, all the festivities.
You can tell.
Not really his thing. Yeah,
you can tell when they did the video for him. That, like, mm-hmm. he was focused on waiting for it to be over so he could acknowledge the crowd and be cordial and do his thing, but also that he was waiting for that to be over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this morning he was honest with us. He said, this isn't something I'm really looking forward to. I don't like being the center of everything. And that's how he is. He doesn't like to be kind of the center of attention. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So I think he is just kind of, you know, waiting for this to be over with.
Is there a reason why they didn't do the Silver Stick tonight?
I don't know. I heard, no, sometimes they'll do it the game after. I know that's not uncommon.
Is it a superstition thing, I wonder? Like, he hasn't technically played in the game yet. You got to wait until he's played in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking with our friend Kate Shefty, because she's been to a few of these before, these 1,000th games. And I think it was Eric Johnson, his 1,000th game, and then another one. I think it was a Stahl, Johnson and the Stahl. And at least two of those were on their 1,000th game. So they've done it both ways. I remember Gio wasn't on his 1,000th because his 1,000th was a road game. And he didn't play the game they did the ceremony because he was being held out for trade reasons. But it happens both ways. I don't know why the decision was made to go with the next game.
Yeah, and then B, I love the Ebbs 1,000 game logo. I want it on an enamel pin or something so bad. Do you know if they were selling like that as a patch or anything?
I don't, but I can follow up on that because that's a good looking logo.
It was really cool. I don't remember really seeing that for a 1,000th game for like another player before.
Didn't they do one for, I don't know if they put it on the jerseys. They had Geo where it was like G with Geo 1000, like Geo.
Maybe.
It didn't
block
good.
Most of that season out of my memory for fair obvious enough. Reasons. But yeah, no, this one I thought really looked good. And I was kind of like, wow, I don't really remember seeing stuff like that before. Let's see some talk about how the whole situation works as far as the ELC and the rookie eligibility for Shane Wright next year. Kylie saying it's on a puck for sale. The logo, so there we go.
Okay.
There is that that's not a bad thing to have. Angela Bug, RJ is correct, it was G and then like 1,000, so it was like,
yeah,
G, 1,000. Okay. that makes sense. Let's see, Viren, I'll take Tolvi shooting on the power play again. Feels like it's been a while since he did anything but pass it back to the D. I mean, he almost broke the glass tonight based on the sound.
I know. Yeah, just a few more in the right spot. You know, it's really dangerous, at least just to have that threat there so other teams know you'll do it. Vegas bet the Kraken wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't take those shots.
Yep. Aaron, late to join the chat. Love this crew, but that was easily the most emotionally crushing defeat I've felt as a fan of this team. That's big words. I mean, but I understand it.
I mean, because I point to last year's playoffs, but we were all just so happy to be there. You know what I mean? It's just all like, sure, whatever, you know, they're overachieving anyway.
I was going to say it was a one goal game 7 in the second round, right? Like, what are you supposed to do in that? Like, that's pretty good.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, I guess maybe it is.
Yeah, no, I think it's up there. A couple minutes here left, RJ, about 2.5 minutes left. I mean, what should we look forward to for the next one? Obviously, we've got the Eberle ceremony, right? That's going to be a big deal. But as far as what the Kraken can do here, because I felt like they played a pretty good game throughout this one.
Yeah, they did. If you could just pretty much bottle that for most of the game and release that against the Capitals, you're probably going to get a win. Vegas is a very good team, and more than other teams, they'll just make you pay for small mistakes in big moments. I can't think of another team as just weirdly clutch as Vegas is, and man, they showed it tonight. The Capitals aren't that way. They're an okay team. They're an average team, and you should be able to beat them if you're playing well. And I think Hakstol kind of summed it up at the end of his presser. He said, you know, there's nothing. We just have to get back to work tomorrow. We'll be here in a couple days and just have to try and go after those 2 points. Like, we can't do anything but that.
Yeah. I mean, my big thing would just be like, figure out how to harness momentum for once this season, right? Because that's been such a struggle for them. You look at the third period for this one, RJ, right? They enter it down 2-1. They go up 4-2 in roughly a 10-minute stretch of time. And then you just slowly work backwards from there. Just don't do that. Like, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to blow it all for the last 15 minutes of the game? You can just keep momentum for a little bit longer and you're okay. And it's just something that this team has so consistently struggled with. But knowing how much of this group is going to be back next year, right? If we are kind of all on board with the idea that this was really it, use the rest of this season to try to work on some of that stuff. I know you're always going to lose some stuff over the course of an off season, and next year is going to be its own year, and maybe everybody gets back to shooting at 29% or something next season. But I still think that these are valuable reps against teams that you can try to figure things out, knowing that you are a core group of players that is going to be returning next season. And I think that that's kind of the position that the Kraken need to shift to. And if I'm the coaching staff, I kind of start shifting towards that stuff. I really start looking at certain lines, certain D pairings, all of those kinds of things. And if we are going to see something like, you know, a breakup of, say, Alexiak Borgen, I think we'd see it here late, just because you're trying to get a head start on next year.
Right. And we saw some of those things at the end of year one, where, I mean, it was much clearer at that point. It was a lost season from a standings perspective. But you saw the start of the Dunn-Larson pair together. After the trade deadline, you let Gio go and you got Dunn-Larson together. And that became a wonderful thing for the Kraken. You know, this could be the start of some pairings or some line combinations that are going to help you further down the road, including next season and beyond. So, you know, starting to think that way, I think, might be a little beneficial.
Didn't we see that with Alexiak Borgen too?
I think we might have. It all kind of fell into place once you had Dunn-Larson together.
Yeah. Just a quick stuff here. Anthony Grubauer Thursday against Washington, or back to Joey?
I'd go back to Joey.
I would too. So that one's good. Let's see. I've heard they're not doing patches, which is very unfortunate. That's from Kat on the Jordan Eberle thing, 1,000th game thing. That is unfortunate. Scott, that loss was a dagger. Any truth to the rumor Wennberg was offered an extension by Francis and turned it down?
Well, Francis said they had discussions with him, but it didn't really get that far. So,
yep,
there's that.
And then, Maddie, I did miss Wenny this game. A couple people have said that throughout this one. You wonder about defending the lead late.
Yeah, you know he'd be out on the ice a lot in that situation, yeah.
But do we get to... Wait a second. Is this the first... This would be the first game all year that we've scored four and lost, right?
It would be. Yep, that's right.
Well, sorry to bring that up and then leave us all on the bummer of that, everybody.
Dylan!
I'm sorry. It just clicked for me because I said, well, without what, you know, if Wennberg was here, maybe we don't get to the four goals. And then it like clicked. I was like, oh no.
It's a different team, Dylan.
If Wennberg was here and we scored four, we would have won. That's that. If we know anything, we know that.
Yep.
All right. Thanks everybody for joining us for this one. I know it was a tough game. Appreciate everybody being here to go through the therapy session with us. As always, huge shout out to Flatstick. Like I said, we've got special news coming very, very soon. Very, very soon. Yep. Really excited for it. So stay tuned for that, everybody. And we will see everybody next time.